the NAFTA podcast, hiding behind bushes, hiding like an assassin. You never know when we're going to pop up again, but we're back. It is episode God Only Knows. The lull of the winter fixtures have totally fucked us up. We have no idea where we're at. I don't even know where I live anymore. I don't know what day it is. It's absolute pandemonium. And to top it off, we're coming into this podcast with high emotions. Big emotions for at least one of us.
Dude.
And to be totally honest, instead of doing this bullshit intro that I normally do, I think it'd be therapeutic for you and therapeutic for maybe if one of the three of our listeners is a Liverpool fan to get to hear it, but why don't you just give me a breakdown? For everyone listening, this is being recorded hours after a...
Mere hours.
After a 1-0 Liverpool loss at Anfield to Burnley. Sean Dyche's All right. Burnley.
All right. Let me just... I have one Liverpool friend who I text. I think I only text
Sucks to only have when... one friend, bro.
Aww.
Yeah.
What?
I think I only text him when we're playing. Yeah. I don't text him any other time, just when we're playing.
So he's definitely going to your wedding.
Yeah, so I wish I could read you this, like, 200 text debacle that we just had.
Can't believe you can't read. What?
Shut up!
You want me to sit here and read 200 texts?
It's basically what we do. It's basically what we do every week anyway, because we write out all this goofy shit. But no, go ahead.
So, since 2015,
yeah,
I have never been as disappointed. I'm like a disappointed dad mode right now. Never been this disappointed in a team. In anything, like we're Cleveland fans. Like the Browns don't make me this disappointed because they've sucked for so long. Now they're pretty good. I'm happy about that. The Indians haven't disappointed me this much. They're close, but they haven't. And the Cavs, I don't really give a shit about. I don't follow them that much. I probably should, but I went on Twitter after the game, and I saw people genuinely blaming Thiago.
Nope.
For why we aren't good right now. Completely disregarding the fact that our front three of magic, of miracles, hasn't scored a goal in four games.
Yep.
And when I'm not counting the 4-1 against Aston Villa, where they played literally teenagers against us.
Nope.
That doesn't count. We haven't scored a goal in four games. Our defense actually looks pretty decent. And we send out there Oxlade-Chamberlain, Origi, Shaqiri again, who played last time. He actually played pretty well. If you're Origi or Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you had to sit there and watch the front three not score a goal for three games, and then you go, okay, it's my time to shine, like, let's get a goal, let's get us back into this, and then you get subbed off after 55 minutes for Mohamed Salah, who hasn't scored, and Roberto Firmino, who is my favorite player, who hasn't scored, I would be fucking pissed.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
why not? Why not me?
Henderson didn't play. Trent Alexander-Arnold looks like a League Two right back right now.
Poor.
He probably crossed 20 balls into the box, and not one of them was close.
Right to a Burnley foot.
I mean, it was terrible. And Robertson doesn't look any better. Allison is like the one shining example because he's been keeping clean sheets and at least getting us draws. And the penalty against him was pretty fucked too. I didn't even think he touched him. But it doesn't matter because, you know, we had one chance to score a goal, and bless his heart, Divock Origi, I mean, just absolutely piss rockets it off of the
He broke the crossbar.
He broke the crossbar in the post. He could have slid it into Mane. That would have been an easy goal, but I'm not blaming him for that. That he can't fucking score either. So I've never – and Klopp is sitting there arguing with Sean Dyche on the sideline, you know, throughout the game. Because literally Burnley just tried to hurt you. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like,
yeah.
If they get a lead or if they're tied and they're just playing defense, they're going to kick the shit out of you. They're going
to
hurt you.
You have to score in the first half against Burnley. You have to. You got to go up at least one, maybe not two, because if it's close, they're just going to foul the fuck out of you the whole rest of the game.
If we continue to play like this, which, I mean, I am the most pessimistic of people in the world, I don't think that's likely. I don't think that's possible that we could play like this the rest of the season. But we're at the halfway point. We have 21 less points than we had. I think 21. Maybe 21 less points than we had last year at this time. If we continue to play like this, we're not even going to get into the Champions League.
You serious, Clark?
Okay, that's ridiculous. But
I'm saying if we continue to play like we are currently right now, dude, Spurs would beat us. We play them next. Everton would beat us. West Ham would beat us. Chelsea would beat us. Southampton already beat us. I mean, they're all behind us right now.
Yeah, I feel that. I want you to also remember, I mean, you can feel like if you keep playing this way, you're not going to make it a Champions League spot. That's totally fine. You can't do the 21-point thing right now because that team last year was not going to lose. Like, they had an incredible year. They had 99 points. The only other team to ever do better was City with 100. Like, they're the second best.
I understand that completely. I'm just telling you that we are 21. Like, did you think we were 21 points worse than that team? It's literally the same team, pretty much.
That's a tough one because 21 points is literally like 7 wins less. I wouldn't think you're 7 wins less. I'd probably think that maybe you're like 3.
Yeah. I mean, dude, pretty fucking terrible.
So who do you blame then?
I blame everybody. This isn't a one person thing. I mean, I'm low-key. I mean, he is literally, I'm agnostic, and the only god that I look up to is Jurgen Klopp, and he is my king. He is my whatever, you know. I follow him to fucking death, and I will. I don't care what happens. Yeah. But he's pissing me off too, because he, like, this is the first time where he's straight up said that he was disappointed with the team, and he always has their back and stuff, even to a fault. I think, like, he will say some wild shit to make it so that the players don't get blamed. But today he was just like, I mean, what do you want from me? Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not out there playing. I mean, he sat down this game. I've never seen him sit unless we were winning by, like, 6 goals.
So what were the reasons they blamed Thiago?
That he was slow in the midfield. The dude's making the only passes in the entire game.
Yeah, I got to push back on that, too, because, A, you mentioned it earlier. There was not a pass or a cross that TAA played that didn't hit a Burnley foot first. And as much as you said, like, Shaqiri played well, dude, I feel like he was like a ping pong. Like, he would get the ball kicked to him and he'd kick it right back. Or he'd kick it. It was never a positive movement. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
That's what Zach and I, shout out Zach if you ever listen to this, probably not.
Aww.
But that's my friend who I text all the time.
Is one
that's
friend.
What we were talking. That's what we were talking about. Like, we pass the ball and move like we have literally zero purpose. And I'm like, not a wizard. I'm not a soccer wizard or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If you said, like, oh, what is this person doing wrong? Like, how should they be moving? I wouldn't be able to tell you. But when you're not moving or when the movement is constantly back away from the goal, that's not good.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I do the same thing where it's like, who am I to ever question a Pep Guardiola tactic? But there's been times this year where I've looked at the, 7 or 6 players we have in the attacking half and how they're moving, and I'm like, they don't have any clue where the chance is going to come from. Like, they don't even know what their passes are meaning to do, what they're trying to do. Like, they don't know any of what they're trying to do. And then the best thing about Shaqiri also is A, the ping pong passes, but because of his size, he actually was clogging lanes. Like, there were 2 times, I was on the phone with you for one of them. There's a second time where he literally went into the space that Mo Salah was trying to get into. And I'm sorry, if you want one of those players to have space to do anything with a ball, it's Mo Salah. It's not Jadon Shaqiri.
Because that's the other thing. I would love to sit down Salah, Firmino, Mane, a little bit less, but also Mane, Wijnaldum, and I'm trying to think of who, and Shaqiri, obviously, from that game, and just go like, hey, you see this ball? You see how it's solid? How you can, like, feel all around it, and, like, you can't put, like, your hand through it or anything? It's, like, a solid piece, right? And then you feel yourself, and you go, I'm also solid, okay? When 2 solid things hit each other, they don't pass through. You can't kick the ball through people all the time.
Yeah.
You have to, like, create space to the point where you can see the goal and kick it at it. And I understand, like, people sliding in your way when you had an opening. But I swear to God, I saw Mo two or three times. The guy was standing right in front of him. He had to have seen it, acknowledge it, and he just said, fuck it, I'm going to kick it. And, of course, it hits right off of him and goes out of bounds or something. And it's like, dude, I have to look. I mean, we probably had 20-something shots on goal. I can't imagine that more than 4 or 5 were actually on goal.
No, I bet you have probably 20-some-odd shots. I'd be willing to bet three of them were on goal. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's also tough to when you play Burnley because you know it's 15 people behind the ball at all points, and they are content with giving up corners because they're also big as fuck. And deflected shots, deflected passes, that's how they defend. So, yeah, man, sounds like you're a little frustrated. Any final words before we get into our little groupings here?
No. Kick it off. When it comes to Liverpool, that was basically my piece on it. I don't, like, you know, I don't give a fuck right now what we do. I can't look at anything Liverpool right now or it'll piss me off. So, I just need to say that before.
You're actually a pretty calm ranter. I will give you that. Like it wasn't. I thought there might have been some fireworks. You know, I wasn't sure where it was gonna go. But
if this podcast would have taken place at 5:30 Eastern time, approximately 40 minutes after the game, it would have been a lot less fun.
All right,
maybe
so
a lot more fun. I don't know.
Let's jump into this. As always, not as always, as the last three podcasts, I feel like we want to break down the table in three different sections. We got our relegation battle. We got, hey, can we maybe get a European spot? And then we actually have our title contenders. The relegation battle is as followed. Sheffield United, obviously not really a battle, but just holding down one of the rally spots. 5 points in 20th. West Brom, 19th with 11 points. Fulham, sitting at 18th, getting relegated currently with 12 points. Brighton, a step above in 17th. On 17 points, Burnley at 16 with 19 points, and Newcastle, a newly added relegation zone team, in my opinion. I can get your take on that in a minute. Sitting at 15th on 19 points as well. So let's start from the bottom, and we don't have to spend too much time, but Sheffield United did get their first league win of the season.
Dude, can I bring up the fact that we have a cheat sheet here?
Yeah.
And I'm reading your cheat sheet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sheffield actually have a chance to sign Lingard. Will that matter at all?
Exactly.
I mean, truly. I mean, like, Jesse Lingard's not saving Sheffield United.
No, I don't think anyone's saving Sheffield United.
Aww.
But I think it is... Lingard's point of view has to be, hey, if I can get over there, get some playing time, and then maybe prove to United that I can... I mean, it's going to be a loan. They're not going to outright buy him, I wouldn't think, right? Or they could. I mean, they could outright buy him, and then he could go somewhere else. This is just an opportunity, I think, for Jesse Lingard to get some PT. The cheat sheet we have here, we got their form the last four games or the last amount of games since we've had a pod, their next matches, and then some of the headlines, some of the transfers, which I know it's like the second half of January. So just based off of form, you know, 2-0 loss to Palace. They beat Bristol Rovers in the FA Cup 3-2. 1-0 win at Newcastle, which is a big factor in why I think Newcastle is just coming down into the relegation battle as well. And then the 3-1 loss to Spurs. Next match is coming up. They got Plymouth Argyle in the FA Cup, then United, then City, then West Brom. And like we just mentioned, the only thing that was of note to mention is like, hey, if they get Lingard, that's actually someone that's played some minutes top flight Premier League football that can maybe bring a spark and has a great goal celebration as Michael's doing on the screen.
The Jay Lings, dude?
No,
Jay
no.
Lings would be swaggy.
No shot. He helps them get out of the bottom, but interesting pickup.
They're going down for sure. Them and West Brom are going down for sure. Plymouth, I mean, they play them in the FA Cup. Should obviously win. Probably won't. Then United City, not going to win either of those. And then West Brom, I mean, if they can beat West Brom, maybe they have a chance to not be 20th, but
Yeah, they're going down. They're both going down. West Brom going down as well. Sitting in 19th, last four games they've played, 4-0 loss to Arsenal, loss to Blackpool in the FA Cup, 2-2 losing on pens, then a 3-2 win at Wolves, which is another thing that we have to talk about when we get to that mid-range set, and then a 2-1 win or 2-1 loss at West Ham. It's really tough for us just to sit here and be like, West Brom is still totally getting relegated when they've just recently had a win. But it does prove that 18, 17, 16, and 15, those teams, one of them is going to get relegated, and they still kind of consistently churn out points at some clip at the very least, right?
Here, do you want to know, this kind of plays into it, right? Do you want to know why I'm not completely just like freaking out and off the wall about how bad currently Liverpool are playing? It's because literally, as we said all year, every single team can lose.
Yep.
You guys right now, you guys are in great form, in my opinion. You guys could lose or tie three games in a row.
Yeah. We've also been super spoiled the past 3 years because both of our teams have played at such a level that it's like, this is what we just expect to be the norm. And now that it's back to, hey, there's five teams that could win instead of one or two. It's definitely more exciting, but it is frustrating as fuck. So
yeah, dude. But yeah, like West Brom could get a win, but they're on 11 points right now. Do I see them? Burnley's on 19 now.
Yeah.
Newcastle's on 19. Fulham, I think 15, right?
Yep.
No, Fulham's on 12.
12. Ooh.
Brighton's on 17. Yeah, I mean, I personally think the three that are down there right now are the three that are going down. Just because I can see Brighton getting more results than those three. Burnley clearly already have. They have that defensive mentality. I mean, they've only given up 22 goals. They've only scored 10, but 22 in that position is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Newcastle, I mean, like you were saying,
West Brom's given up 43 goals for perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Newcastle though, like you were saying, I mean, 1-0 loss to Sheffield, their first win of the year. Newcastle gets like the dumbest, weirdest, like you'd never expect them wins.
I would never bet on Newcastle against or for. It's just
because you just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know. Next matches for West Brom, they got City, they got Fulham, which will be a big one. Then they got Sheffield, another big one, and then Spurs. So two of those matches, definitely winnable.
For sure.
Definitely winnable, but do we think they would? Maybe Sheffield, that's about it. And then the only big transfer news that I've seen, you're going to hear this guy's name a lot, but Josh King from Bournemouth, the striker, he's been linked to a bunch of different teams. And then also James McArthur from Palace can maybe get in there.
And then you have here 11 matches this year, no goals, no assists.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Why anybody would want him.
Josh King, no goals and no assists on 11 games in the championship. And then James McArthur, 17 games in the Prem, no goals, two assists. So
there you go. Yeah,
but that's what happens when you're in a relegation scrum. Those are the guys you got.
So the last team currently in the relegation is Fulham. I think they're obviously the better of those three.
For sure.
Or at least the most, more
fun. I actually think that Fulham's not a decent team, I guess, but they're not a bad team. These other two teams are bad teams, I think.
Yeah, West Brom and Sheffield United are bad.
Yeah, agreed.
But so they just beat QPR. I'm guessing in like the FA Cup, right, or something.
Yeah,
along those lines. Drew Spurs, which is good. Only lost to Chelsea 1-0, and only lost to United 2-1. So they're keeping it close. Obviously not getting the results, like results are everything. But I mean, they're not getting blown out. They're not giving up a ton of goals. I mean, do you remember when they were in the Premier League 2 years ago? I mean, it was literally just
it was terrible.
Four or five goals.
Yeah, it was so bad.
They spent a ton of money.
defense is playing somewhat better, I guess, in that sense then.
Just organized. They're just more organized.
I think Scott Parker is a better coach than... I forget who they had before. Was it Bilic?
No, I don't remember.
But I actually think Scott Parker's a good coach. I think, personally, I do like when Fulham's in the Prem, but I just really like or I do like when Newcastle's in the Premier League, but I just really like Fulham and I don't want them to go away. They also are like not linked to anyone right now, just having a few departures. The only thing I think that could help them a bit is if they could just get a more consistent striker. Someone that, I mean, again, you're in a relegation battle. That's so hard to find. Like, you're not going to be able to find that, but a step up from Mitrovic. Yeah, I just think you need a step up from Mitrovic.
Dude, well, he's not even really playing that much, is he?
No, but I'm saying, like, that's more Lookman. That same vein, that same, like, type of player, like, to play with Lookman, to sub in for Lookman, to just give you some options up top. Like,
yeah.
That's where I feel like you need to go. Next matches, Burnley in the FA Cup, Brighton, West Brom, and Leicester. Brighton and West Brom, they can get two W's there, and that's 6 points. That's huge. And I think then you can actually talk about them pulling one of those teams back into the relegation battle and making it more of a battle moving forward.
Yeah. The team that's in the relegation, well, I really like Newcastle too, but I love Brighton recently.
Big Brighton,
I just like
guys.
How they play. Big Brighton guys, even though I have them going down, so whatever. 17 points. They are 5.
Isn't 17th as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cheeky. 17 points, 5 ahead of Fulham on 12. That Brighton-Fulham game, obviously, you know, the next one for them in the Prem is big. But they got that 3-3 draw against Wolves. Maybe that says a little bit more about Wolves, considering they also lost to West Brom.
Mm-hmm.
FA Cup, Newport County, they won, lost to City, and beat Leeds 1-0. Held Leeds to a clean sheet there. I just think they are all around. It just keeps getting a little bit better, you know what I mean? Which yep. makes sense. Obviously, you're in a better position. But, I mean, Sheffield and West Brom are, like, you know, bottom of the barrel. Fulham's a little bit better than them. And then I think Brighton, you're actually getting into, like, some really talented players.
They've had good results this year. I mean, we are both victims to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're just, they have better players. And I think if you're more organized, you know, Fulham's more organized and more clinical, they can obviously get a win. Like, joke at all, like, very obviously. But Brighton individually, like, Mappe is probably better than anybody Fulham has. Like, not by a lot, but he's probably the best player. Tariq Lamptey's probably the best player.
Yeah, for sure.
So if those guys are playing well, I think they get that win against Fulham. I think it's going to be pretty tough for Fulham to catch them.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think that could be maybe, I don't want to say clinching because you're only X amount of points above, but it could be.
It definitely
would be like a turning point game, because their next four matches, Blackpool in the FA Cup, Fulham, Spurs, and then Liverpool. Quick turnaround for Liverpool on them
as
well.
That's 6 points for them.
But you can just tell that they're having that mindset of, all right, we're out of the zone. We're out of danger right now, technically, on points. We have to stay here. When teams need that, what do? They invest in defense. Unfortunately, Tariq Lamptey looks like he's still going to be a couple weeks out with an injury.
Yeah.
So they're looking at Sean Duffy, defender at Celtic. Played 14 matches in the Scottish Prem, 6 matches in the Champions League. 3 goals and assists. That doesn't matter for a defender as much, but they're definitely trying to beef that section up so that they can throw fresh bodies back there and just have some seasoned defenders.
Burnley in 16th on 19 points off of potentially the biggest result of the season. beating Anfield at home, breaking the 68 game streak of not losing at Anfield.
Yeah, over 1,000 days.
Yeah, pretty big deal. Obviously, like, if you're not either of those teams, you probably don't give a fuck. But beat MK Dons on pens in the FA Cup. Lost United 1-0. This is so typical Burnley games too. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah.
Lost to United 1-0, lost to West Ham 1-0, beat Liverpool 1-0.
Wait, 1-1 tie. Like, 1-1 draw in regular time against MK Dons, beat him in pens. The most Burnley win ever. Before we jump into it, the thing I wanted to bring up, because I just kept talking about it while we were on the phone watching the game. They finally asked Klopp and Deitch afterwards, because there was a screaming match between the two of them. And Jurgen says,
"Catch me outside, how about that?"
Oh, if he's not going to talk about it, I won't bring it up. I'm not going to say it because you get some. He basically says, you don't get this pissed off unless someone says something to you to make you that mad. Like, it wasn't like unprovoked Klopp was angry. They asked Deitch about it afterwards. He goes, I mean, I'm allowed to fight for my team, am I not? Essentially. And it was just the most, like, Sean Deitch, Louis C.K. looking motherfucker of all time. Like, just trying to troll the god. The Klopp god. And it just, like, it just made no sense. Like, my brain was breaking just, like, watching it happen and then reading about it afterwards.
Yeah, I saw them yelling at each other, but, you
know.
Yo,
it went down the tunnel, though. Like, they were yelling at each other, and then they went down the hall a bit.
Right, but see, once that the final whistle went, I completely stopped watching. I didn't look at anything else because, like, fuck.
Oh, no, this was halftime, bro.
Oh, they talked at halftime?
No, this was them screaming at each other at halftime.
Yes, I know, but I didn't hear anything.
Michael's
after
frustrated
the game
at me.
He just
talking tensed
about
up. Yeah. No,
so I didn't know.
I didn't see it either. This. I didn't see it either. I read about it afterwards. So like, I read the I forget who the fuck it was, like the Daily Mirror. Who the fuck cares? But I read them asking him questions about like, hey, what happened with Klopp? And Deitch was just like, I mean, I'm allowed to fight for my team. I was fighting for my team. We should be allowed to fight for our team. And in my head, I'm like,
why the fuck you lying?
There's nothing you said positively about Burnley. Like, you can't say anything so positive about Burnley to get Klopp that pissed off. Right?
Yeah, true.
Like, there's nothing you can say to be like, hey, we're playing real well out there. The Klopp's like, fuck off.
I have to imagine it was probably Ashley Barnes, like, kicking out at Fabinho at the end of the half, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, again, it's just what Deitch
said.
The
excuse that he gave
makes
no sense.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Yes,
like, come on,
obviously,
dude.
Obviously. Yeah, also, just another thorn in the side. Ashley Barnes was on a yellow card when that happened, and Fabinho got a yellow card and not him. And he didn't VAR that. Yeah. And then Ashley Barnes ends up getting the penalty and scoring the goal. So.
Yeah. And it's
typical,
just like,
you know, typical Liverpool.
It's just a great storyline for this whole year. I mean, not great for you, but just great in general, because Deitch and Klopp have been, like, going at it in the press all year about, like, subs and about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And Sean
I don't
Deitch.
I understand what it is, though, because, like, Klopp is such a. And this is probably the Liverpool bias in me, but I feel like Klopp is such a, like, a player's manager, player's coach type
Bro,
of guy.
I love Jurgen Klopp, and I hate Liverpool.
Right, and it's all the smaller teams that are talking about how, like, they care about their players, and they're, like, investing in their players, and they're trying to protect them. And I'm like, dude, I think he's, like, one of the number one people in doing that, and you're fighting with him.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because he's outspoken, and like Mourinho said, like, there's shit that Klopp can do that, you know, he'll get in no trouble, and then if I do, I'm in trouble or whatever, which I think is a bit of an exaggeration.
I mean, it does make sense for Deitch on the substitution things, because every person on the bench for Liverpool is better than anyone on the bench for Burnley. So the more people that you can enter in the game fresh, the worse off you're going to be. Like, it totally makes sense that he's, like, advocating for that, but I just don't like when managers make up an excuse and try to be, like, cheeky about it. Just be like, they're better than us. Our only chance to win is to limit the amount of people that can actually enter fresh. Like, that's just how it is, you know? So
yeah, typically the cheekiness in coaches is, like, more of a U.S. thing where no one ever wants to say anything bad or mean or anything like that. I personally
disagree. What? I think it's so much bigger in Europe. I think all those motherfuckers don't say shit.
No. I think they do say shit. Like, they'll just be like, I mean, maybe it's just, like, certain managers, but I think sometimes they say some stuff where I'm like, oh shit. Like, if they said that in the U.S., people would be like, oh, he's being a dick or whatever. He's being, like, you know, typical this or that or whatever. And I've always sat there and been like, dude, like, Mourinho says crazy stuff. Like, they always play stuff down too, and they're like, oh yeah, they're a pretty good team, but, you know, blah 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 blah. I don't know, maybe it's just like I have certain things in my head, and because I watch Klopp all the time, he's like a prime example of somebody who just says whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I always feel like in the US it's a little bit more pulled back, and you have to, like, there's this idea that you have to be buttoned up about it, and I just don't think that's true in the UK.
Yeah, I think maybe it's like in the US you just have to be muzzled, like, not even buttoned up.
Yeah, like, you're
buttoned up. They just know we're not even gonna go down this road, so whatever. In Europe, I feel like they just they're just cheeky as shit about it. They just like
sidebarb.
Next matches for Burnley, Fulham in the FA Cup, Villa, Chelsea, City. At 15th, a team that I pulled into this relegation zone just because their run of form is trash. Like, big trash. Newcastle United sitting at 15th on 19 points. Last four games, 2-1 loss to Leicester, 2-0 loss to Arsenal in the FA Cup, 1-0 loss to Sheffield, 3-0 loss to Arsenal in the league. What the fuck? They suck.
I mean, yeah, they're not very good. I don't know. There's not really much else to say because they're just one of those teams that they're going to lose games you think they should win. They're going to win some games you think they should lose. They're probably going to just lose seven games in a row, and then next thing you know, they're going to, when they need to the most, they're going to get 6 points out of two games and be fine.
Yeah, and they're like a side that I feel like may have some money whatsoever. Like, I don't know. But they have money. The two things that people are looking to sign are A, on loans, I feel like, and one of them's an under 23-year-old Manchester United player named Brandon Williams. He's a fullback. The other one being Hamza Chowdhury of Leicester City, who's had three caps in the midfield this year. But I don't know, man. What the fuck? I'd take Maximin at City right now. Let me take him off your hands.
Nope.
You don't need him. And I don't want to hate another player, so you can't take St. Maximin. Yeah, dude, I love Newcastle. I think they're cool. They're obviously not playing very fucking well right now. Steve Bruce, I don't think, is actually that bad of a manager. I think this is just one of those situations where you have some good players. Like, you know, they still have Callum Wilson. He is obviously going to perform. I just think they're like kind of in a slump.
Yeah.
Right now, which is so insane for me to say. I mean, they literally lost four straight games. But I just think they're in a little bit of a slump. They're not a team you expect to win, like, even every game or even a quarter of the games or whatever. But, you know, halfway through, they're on 19 points. 40 is usually the safe. So if they, you know, get an extra win in the next 19 than they did this time, they're safe.
Yeah. You're saying they don't have to win a quarter. You can't lose to Sheffield United. Like, you just can't lose to Sheffield United.
I get that, but you know, like, at the end of the year, you know, the mid-table teams are the teams you want to play at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get relegated. They're not going to push for anything else. You don't want to play teams in the title race, and you don't want to play teams in relegation. And, I mean, dude, from basically the fifth or sixth game on, Sheffield United has been playing for their season every single time.
Yeah.
So you could argue that, you know, they had a win coming eventually. They're not going to not win. And 1-0, I mean, I haven't looked at that game to see, like, how it broke down or anything, but it's not like they got hammered. I mean, they have only scored one goal in those last four, which is kind of concerning. But, again, they're gonna get a 2-1 win out of nowhere against, like, Southampton.
Well, right? we're looking at their I'm looking at their next four matches: Villa, Leeds, Everton, Palace.
They're gonna get a win somewhere.
They could beat Leeds and Palace, I think. Could.
Yeah.
They could do it.
For sure.
Not they at the same time, maybe, but then get one of them. Yeah, they're gonna beat one of them. So, definitely on the slide. I wanted to throw them in there because I do think they're more of part of that group than this next one. Can we get to Europe? And the one team that I have starting us off, I know they're not going to get relegated, so I didn't put them there, but I don't think they can go to Europe right now, and it's honestly not anything that has to do with the manager or the players. I think the fact that Raul Jimenez fractured his fucking skull and probably won't play again this year has totally derailed Wolves, who are sitting at 14th on 22 points. Last four matches, 3-3 draw to Brighton, 1-0 win against Palace in the FA Cup, 2-1 loss to Everton, and a 3-2 loss to West Brom. The Brighton and West Brom results, obviously alarming. If we're just going to give Newcastle shit about Sheffield, you got to give Wolves shit about this because Wolves are way better than Newcastle. But again, I think that the Raul Jimenez situation just has totally fucked them up.
For sure. I mean, he's your goal scorer. He's literally your target guy. Everything goes through him. He kind of plays like that Firmino role for them. You know, kind of get putting everything together, and he goes out. That's not good. Dude, I mean, I kind of wish they would have lost to Palace in the FA Cup.
So they didn't have to do any have any more fixtures?
Yeah, so they just didn't have to, didn't have to play the FA Cup, and they could kind of get back on track.
I mean, their next FA Cup game is against Chorley, so I think they'll be all right there. I know that right now they're trying to pull in this William Jose guy from Real Sociedad. He scored 6 goals in 21 matches. I can fully admit I don't know if he plays that Jimenez role a little bit, or if he's just an out and out, like, give me the ball and I'm going to try to score type of striker. I don't think it's goals that are the issue. They scored, 7 in the last 4? That's sometimes better than what City has done this year. So I think goals are it.
Yeah, they're giving up too many goals.
I think the defense is where they should be focusing. But I'd have a feeling that this William Jose guy is a pickup so that they can have a better run next year for sure.
What are the odds he's Portuguese?
Oh, great. I think he's actually Spanish, but I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
So
he might be. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, they're not getting in Europe this year.
No.
I mean, I guess I don't know, though, because I don't know how close all the points are. And if they get a couple wins, like, maybe they'll, jump up. But, I mean, they're in 14th right now in 22, and they're behind your bogey team, your second favorite team, Crystal Palace, on 23, one more point. They have played Sheffield United, beat them. Wolves, they lost in the FA Cup, like we just said. Drew Arsenal, which is pretty good, and then got absolutely hammered by City 4-0. I guess not really your bogey team, huh?
Yeah, not this year.
Not
if,
this
if,
time.
If you're giving up 2 goals in a game to John Stones, I can't consider you a bogey team this year. Just to answer your question earlier.
He's on the revive, though.
He's on the up and up for sure.
Yeah.
Just to kind of answer your question from a little bit earlier, Wolves has 22 points. Tottenham's got the last European spot, maybe Everton, but they're on similar points, 33 and 32. So it's like 10 points, from where Wolves are at to where the European spots are. I mean, I personally don't think that Palace, Leeds are going to try and get a European spot or have a chance at a European spot this year, but they're just in this group because I don't want to do 4 groups. So Palace is looking to get a forward from Mainz. I think they actually already picked him up. Jean-Philippe Mateta, 7 goals, 2 assists, and 15 matches in the Bundesliga. I think that's actually exactly what they need. If you give me a striker that can score up there to help play with Zaha, exactly what they need. But it's just never worked.
Dude.
Because they've had Michy. They've had multiple people, and it just never works.
Dude, they're fun, though.
Oh, dude, I love watching Palace.
I mean, sometimes. Sometimes they're literally anti-fun.
It is the biggest, bear and bull market type of team where it's like, they're either the most fun. It's feast or famine. They're either a really fun team and fun game to watch, and you sit there and you're like, why the fuck don't I watch Palace more often? Or else it is literally the most boring game of the week in the Premier League. Like, that
is... it's like...
That's how it is.
It's like week to week. Week to week, Roy's like, all right, everybody, we're going to sit back. We're not going to not give up any goals. We're just going to sit there and we're going to pack it in and try to get a 1-0. And then like one day a week, Zaha goes up to Roy Hodgson's like, can we please play attacking? Can we please, 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 please play attacking? And Roy's like, okay, go on ahead.
One more.
One more. And then,
go ahead and get another goal in there,
and
son.
And then they have a little bit of fun out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, that's, I think they tried to when they played us. And obviously, like, that was just not a good, because they had some chances in that game. That was just obviously not a good deal. But they've had some games this year where I've genuinely been impressed with, like, how they played.
So this is the difference between U.S. sports and European sports. And it's weird to say this because I feel like European, especially the Premier League, they go through managers so quickly. But with the amount of talent that Palace actually has at some of the positions, I don't understand how they're not sitting there being like, all right, we got to get Roy out to pasture. We got to get a better, younger coach in here to take these guys so we can maybe get a premier, or get a European spot.
All right, ready? Do you want me to explain this to you?
Money.
Okay. So they're not doing that because if they bring in somebody new who's an attacking-minded person, and if it clicks, obviously that's really good, right? high reward there. But if it doesn't, the risk of that is you get relegated.
Yeah.
You lose games and you get relegated, right? The reason in the U.S. why they're so willy-nilly to put new people in and they don't really give a shit about that is because when you fail, it's actually a good thing in some cases. Because you get draft picks, you get all this other stuff. There is so much more strategy in European football than in anything in the U.S.
That's true. I mean, it's also, you can bring in the new guy that has an incredible year, an incredible season, and you can have a great year and get into Europe, and the next year, because your players that had such a great year are now at bigger and better clubs because they showed out, you are actually prime probably to get relegated.
Yeah, well, dude, think about, like we said before, last time Fulham was up, right? They spent all that money.
Yeah.
Okay? All that money on all those people to try to stay up, and they fucking sucked. I mean, they were terrible.
They were bad.
Like, again, that was a high risk, high reward, and obviously the risk would, like, paid out way more. Yeah.
It is just one of those things that I do have to check myself to be like, damn, I like Roy, but I want to get Roy out of there because I want Zaha, and they just have a lot of talent. I feel like it's just not being utilized correctly. Their next four, West Ham, Wolves, Newcastle, and Leeds. Speaking of Leeds, sitting at 12th on 23 points, their last four games, a 5-0 win at West Brom, and then it went totally off the rails. 3-0 loss to Tottenham, 3-0 loss to Crawley Town in the FA Cup, and a 1-0 loss to Brighton and Hove Albion. What's going on with Bielsa?
They either score a lot or give up a lot of goals.
Which is a good thing that Diego Llorente is getting healthier and can actually help play some defense maybe. I mean, that's a bright side, I guess. Other person they're looking at is this Eric Pulgar from Fiorentina.
Eric Pulgar.
Do you know?
Eric Pulgar is pretty fucking good.
He is tatted. He is yatted. Yeah,
he is batted up, boy.
He looks crazy.
Everywhere. He's, what is he? He's some South American.
Chilean.
He's
Chilean.
I think he's Chilean. He's Chilean. I think you're right.
What's his FIFA rating? Crazy. Since I know you've played some games with Fiorentina, I bet you know.
He's like
what's his potential?
Mid to high 70s. His potential is not that high. His potential is like 81, 82.
That's pretty good for Leeds.
I don't think he's young either. I think he's like,
nah. I mean he looks young.
He goes in and does a job.
He looks, I mean, I hope there's no disrespect on this podcast, but he literally looks like a freshly recruited like Mexican gang member.
Man, did this dude just did this?
Like, he looks young as fuck, and he is just neck to fucking ankle in tats. He looks like a badass.
he looks like a kid. He's 27.
Yeah, he's crazy looking.
Damn.
Leeds next matches, Newcastle, Leicester, Everton, and Palace. I think this is kind of where they sit. I don't see them pushing much further higher.
They're not going to move.
I think this is where they sit, and they do fit in with this group that I mentioned, Wolves, Palace, Leeds. Villa definitely can still try and attack for a Premier League spot. They have multiple games in hand right now, so it's a little skewed. A little skewed. They're sitting on 26 points in 11th. Their biggest headline of this past week, though, is they tried to get Sanson from Marseille, the midfielder, and Marseille came out and said that their bid for him was, quote, pathetic. So that didn't work out how they wanted Morgan Sanson. Not going to Birmingham, apparently. He would have helped them tremendously, though, because he is like a stalwart in the midfield. Their form, the only game that they've really played since, you know, we've done a pod, surprisingly, was the 2-0 loss to City. They haven't played in like more than 2 weeks before that. Be totally honest, they could have won that game. I'm surprised they didn't score a goal. They looked really good. And the thing that I'm most impressed by is you know how you see teams attack in a form and attack in the right alleys. They are sticking to their lanes. They're attacking in their lanes. They're in form. They know what they're doing. They have a system moving forward.
They're organized.
They're organized. Exactly. They were organized as fuck on defense. Like,
yeah, dude, they're good
as fuck. Like,
well, you texted me. I didn't. I was so confused about like when people were playing this whole week.
Oh,
like, I was
just like, terrible. Out of it.
But you had texted me and you're like, this game is going to be 7-5. And I was like, oh shit. Like, who's he? I don't even know who they're playing.
Yeah.
And I looked and it just started and it was 0-0. And I was like, oh, it must be going like crazy though. Like, really close.
I felt like there was 35 chances in the first 10 seconds. Like, I was like, what is this?
Like, and then like an hour later, you called me or FaceTimed me or whatever. And you're like, dude, this game is nuts. Like, you know, we're probably going to blow it or whatever. And I was like, oh, what's the score? And you're like, 0-0. And I was like, really? Or are you watching the same fucking game?
It was super, like, it was super sloppy and people were throwing bodies in front of the ball. And it was like a really good game. Again, I actually see a lot more Villa matches where they lose or they draw. And I'm more impressed with them than I was going in. And it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's a good team. And I think they actually have a really, really good system. So, again, I don't think they're going to get Sanson. I didn't really see too much else on the horizon for them. I actually think that they just need to get everyone healthy and keep playing together, to be totally honest. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Their next matches, Newcastle, Burnley, Southampton, West Ham. To not have been playing games for over 2 weeks, those are two pretty good teams to come up against to get your feet back under you after playing City. Because you're going to need it against Southampton and West Ham. I think both those teams are actually pretty good as well.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think for sure they get 6 points. Probably 7, like probably at least draw one of those other games.
I can see them beating West Ham.
I could see them getting 12. I could see them winning all four.
For sure.
For sure. All right, so probably the biggest surprise of the recent weeks and stuff. Arsenal in 10th, 27 points now. Probably because they got rid of Ozil. He's actually gone to Fenerbahce.
He wasn't playing at all, but the fact that we got him out of the locker room, that means we went on our run. You're right.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
And then John has written here, I'm assuming as like a transfer, Martin Odegaard links playmaker, and then under it he has 0 goals, 0 assists. So not really 7 playmaker,
matches.
It seems like.
7 matches. I think one of the biggest things, though, that I wrote in here is, like, Arteta has said, hey, 31-man squad is just too much. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, there's too many players. So I think there's going to be more people sold than anything. I think it'd be kind of cool to see Odegaard go to Arsenal. I mean, they won't buy him. It'll be a loan. Like, Real never lets people buy him. They're always loaned out. So, but I think it'd be cool to have him come back.
Yeah, last four games, smacked West Brom 4-0, beat Newcastle FA Cup, drew Crystal Palace, and then beat Newcastle in the league 3-0. Their next match is, though, pretty tough, it seems like.
Yes.
Southampton, the FA Cup.
Yes.
Southampton again, and then United, and then Wolves. Mm-hmm. And Wolves are in 14th, but don't get twisted, they're still a pretty good team.
We're going to see if happy days are here to stay for Arsenal, or at least good form. Good form days are here to stay, because I could actually see them, and we did say Wolves is not playing well. I could see them only getting 3 points out of the next three games. I know, you know, one's an FA Cup, but United's playing exceptionally well. Southampton's good. I think their best bet is to actually put all of their, I don't know, if you're an Arsenal fan and you're sitting at 10th right now, do you want them to go for the as high as you can get in the league, or try to win the FA Cup?
Yeah, I was doing a bit, but never mind.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch what you were doing at all. So you want them to go as high as they can in the league?
Yeah, dude. They're not going to win the fucking FA Cup.
They won it 2 years ago.
They're not the same team. No, they won it last year, and they're not the same team. Not even close. They're not even close to as good. They're not winning the FA Cup.
So
you want to get... You want
throw the next game.
Huh?
You want to throw the next game?
Yeah, dude, play whoever you want. Play fucking, I don't know, get some kids. Play the under-19s.
Well, it's crazy because...
No.
Arteta went from, like, hey, he's probably going to get fired any day now. Like, any day it's going to happen, to he's in a better situation than Lampard, for sure.
Oh, I mean, yes, like, right now, because they're on the up and Chelsea's very much on the down, but... They're still behind him. That's how bad it was.
Like, oh,
that's literally how bad it was.
And let's be honest, the talent in Arsenal is not as good as the talent in Chelsea.
True.
And yes. I think that's also a bad thing for Lampard.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Sorry, I'm getting water.
No, you're good.
Yes, 100%.
Speaking of the double matches they have coming up with Southampton, they're actually sitting in ninth on 29 points. No big news for Southampton on incoming people. I will say that there is really big news about departure for Southampton that we'll talk about when we talk about another team. Their last four matches, 1-0 win at Liverpool, 2-0 loss to Leicester, 2-0 win against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup, and then a 4-0 loss to... That's not right. 4-0 loss to City? No.
No, they didn't lose to City.
Nah. That's a mistake, folks. It happens.
That is a mistake, everybody.
But
let's
again,
see who they lost to.
As their next matches go, they got the double up against Arsenal 1 in the FA Cup, then Villa and United, so it's going to be tough sledding for them as well. They just need to get back. They need to play some games that they should win and need to win, because they will win them. You know what I mean? I think they just had a tough...
Yeah, that made a lot of sense.
Well, no, listen, they just played Liverpool, Leicester, and whomever this fourth team was.
They played Shrewsbury. Their game against Leeds got canceled.
Okay, so that's what it was. So literally think about it this way. In their last, what is it going to be? Seven games? Liverpool, Leicester, Shrewsbury. Arsenal, Villa, United. There's no let up in any of those games. They're not getting any games against Sheffield. They're not getting any games against Brighton. It is not an easy fixture setup for them right now.
No. And sometimes I think that's good that you have those tough games that you just take a game at a time. And you don't... I think that's... I mean, again, I hate to keep bringing up, Liverpool. But I think that's what we did. We had Fulham... who else did we just have? Brighton, Newcastle. I think we were 12 points. Let's get to when we play United. Let's get to when we play Spurs again. And I think that's why we've been flat this whole time. I kind of think it's good when you have these tough games, because you actually have to prepare for each one, take it individually.
See, I think the opposite when you're off form a little bit. I think it's better to play the teams where you know you're going to put numbers on the board and just get the confidence back. Whereas you're looking at it hey, let's hyper focus week to week to week, which, important and a different way to do it. But I think I'd much rather we're going to go into, and I'm going to say this in a minute, but City's going to go into the Liverpool game that they have coming up with them playing three straight teams that are in the relegation zone. And I feel great about that.
I wouldn't.
I'm
the opposite mindset of you.
Yeah, well, whatever. Eighth, the team we mentioned
Chelsea
a little bit earlier, Lampard's boys, Chelsea, 29 points. Biggest headlines, let's just say what they are straight up, is that Lampard's not going to be the manager much longer. New manager, some of the names we've heard, Massimo Allegri, Thomas Tuchel, Hasan Hüttl, and then Julian Nagelsmann at RB Leipzig. I actually think he does get fired.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but I think he does.
How many of those people do you like?
Three. I don't really know Allegri that well.
Ooh, see... I don't think Tuchel should.
I don't think Tuchel should either. I don't think Hasan Hüttl should either, because Hasan Hüttl actually has the best setup of what we were talking about. They will Southampton will never get rid of Hasan Hüttl. Never get rid of Hasan Hüttl.
No.
I think all fingers pointed it to Nagelsmann.
I think Allegri.
Don't you think?
I think Allegri.
Really? Just because of the Juventus background?
Well, just because it's an experienced manager.
Yeah.
Completely. I think they wanted to give Lampard a chance.
You're probably right. Because, if they're going to take a risk on a younger guy, they just did it with Lampard. They're not going to do it again with Julian.
Well, and Nagelsmann, though, he's done some stuff. He obviously, RB Leipzig is really fucking good. But I just think, they're going to want somebody who's actually done the big stuff too.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
That's Allegri.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So I can see that.
They do not sign Upamecano, because he's really good and I don't want him to play for fucking Chelsea.
Yeah. There's multiple people linked to Chelsea, obviously, but this was the one that I thought was the most legit going to happen. Big defender, something that they definitely need. Their last three games, 3-1 loss to City, 4-0 win at Morecambe in the FA Cup, 1-0 win at Fulham, and then a 2-0 loss to Leicester. Next match is coming up, Luton Town in the FA Cup, Wolves, Burnley, and Spurs. West Ham, maybe the biggest surprise in all of London. One of the teams we probably both, I think, had near the relegation area at the beginning of the year, and now they're just in seventh. But 32 points on the season. Also in the running for aforementioned Bournemouth striker with no goals, Josh King. But
oh, yeah, Josh.
Big, big signing, if they could get it, would be Youssef El-Nesyri from Sevilla. 9 goals in 18 matches in La Liga, and he's actually pretty fucking legit. And I feel like he would be one of those dudes that when you play West Ham, he just scores goals. Like, he would just score a goal that you're like, fuck. Like, what the fuck just happened? Last 4 games, 1-0 win at Everton, 1-0 win at Stockport County in the FA, 1-0 win at Burnley, good defense, 2-1 win at West Brom. So, great form.
Yeah, they're getting the wins. They also obviously have that Doncaster game on the horizon, the FA Cup, that's a big one. Then they play Palace, Liverpool, and Villa. That sounds like 9 points in the league to me, so...
where do they drop him? Pool?
No, Doncaster's not in the league.
You're out of control. You're out of control.
They might not beat Villa. They'll definitely beat Liverpool, though.
I have
literally negative faith.
I do think if they get 6 points out of the neck at those next 3, like, I'm pretty impressed. And I think they could beat Villa for sure. The last time they played, it was a sick game. It was a sick match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very good. And they won. They beat them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Villa tied it, and then it got pulled back on VAR.
Yeah. So that'll be a great match. But this is the exciting part. Like, if you are a West Ham fan or you've enjoyed watching them, these next couple games are going to be sick. In 6th, Everton, 32 points. Biggest headline, they're looking to get a Bayern striker named Joshua Zirkzee. He's 19 years old. He's been playing for Bayern too, so nothing to really worry about this season on. I personally think they just need to get healthy, and they need to play a bunch of games together and just get up and running with Ancelotti's system. Last 4 matches, 2-1 win against Rotherham in the FA Cup, and then a 2-1 win against Wolves. So not last 4 matches, the last 2 matches since we've done a pod. Their next one's coming up, Sheffield Wednesday, FA Cup, Leicester, Newcastle, Leeds. What's your thoughts on Everton?
I think they had some games canceled. That might be why.
Yeah, definitely. COVID's hit them.
Yeah. But yeah, they need to get people healthy. I mean, they have a ton of talent. They are West Ham. I mean, I have to say Chelsea, Southampton. I think those are the 4 that are pushing for that Europa League spot, and then Villa, because they have so many games in hand. I'd like them to get even on games so I can see, but I mean, all evidence points to them being pretty fucking good. I mean, they win a lot of games, but they're all fighting for that fifth and sixth spot, so we'll have to see once Liverpool drops out who's going
to
take it.
Exactly. Way to be a just total masochist in this entire endeavor. Everyone, that's the group we call Can We Get to Europe. Obviously, some of them we don't think can, and there's some that we definitely, I think Everton's definitely getting into Europe, for sure. But them or Villa, I haven't decided. We'll see.
It's tough, man.
Next group is 5 for title contenders, and to be totally honest with you, I don't know if it's really 5. I think it's actually 4. And it's going to be funny that I have to admit this because I've been high on them the whole season. I don't think Tottenham can win it anymore.
Nope.
Tottenham in 5th, 33 points. But I think this headline is something that we bore out of our own just making it happen, talking about it, and bringing it to the forefront. Danny Ings to Spurs.
I will quit everything. I will stop watching.
Could you imagine having Harry Kane and the middle class man's Harry Kane on the same team?
No, because that's not what it is. Can you imagine having Danny Ings and the middle class man's Danny Ings on the same team? It's not
true.
I mean, Danny
big
Ings
true,
is
big
a
true.
Legend.
Danny Ings is the man.
Danny Ings has an Instagram. It's called his at name is Ingstagram. That he's goated for
legend.
Life.
Legend.
He is a pop culture wizard.
Legend in the streets. Legend.
Dude, who? Real quick, just looking at this thing. Who the fuck is Marine?
No, you didn't read anything about this?
No.
It's like a fucking pub team that's made it that far in the FA Cup, and
really?
That's Tottenham sick. Had to go to Marine.
Oh, that's funny.
The funniest shit ever. You gotta go look at it. Marine's like social media, their Twitter said, like, was making jokes the entire game, and one of them was like, "I can't believe I'm saying this, but Gareth Bale is warming up on the sideline at Marine to enter the game," type of shit. Like, it was so funny, bro. But
damn, Nilly got beat 5-0 too.
Right? But that's the shit that's impressive. Like, that, dude, it's so weird this season because Tottenham at some points were playing so well, and I was like, oh man, they're good. Like, this is going to be a tough team. This is going to be a tough out, whatever. Think about it this way. In the offseason, they signed Gareth Bale, and in January, they're thinking about signing another striker. So that kind of tells you how that's gone. And Dele Alli's got to get out. Dele Alli's got to get out.
Yeah.
He's got to go to PSG. That'd be a good pickup.
I mean, I don't know how good he is anymore because I haven't seen him play in like a year, but...
Yeah.
I mean, when he was playing, he was good. Like, I thought Dele Alli was pretty sick.
Bro, he used to piss
me
off.
He can also do that weird, like, hand thing. Yeah, that shit. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
They got Wickham in the FA Cup. Then they have Liverpool, Brighton, and Chelsea, their next four games. Those are, I mean, I'm about to say that we're a tough game. We're not. They're set up perfect for us right now. Like, we can't break
that. They are, but you're set up perfect for your theory. Like, you're going to have a tough game that you have to actually focus on and come back from the form. You have two. You have your next bit of games are tough as fuck.
Yeah, I agree with you, but my theory is that when you're in good form, you want to keep playing tough opponents.
Oh, my theory was when you're in bad form, I want to play the dogs.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I mean, if you're in bad form, you don't want to play good teams. But that's what I'm saying though too, because like we're in bad form and we're about to play. I don't think Spurs is that good, but they're definitely better than who we've been fucking playing.
True, they're definitely better than Burnley. Very similar, though. It's going to be a counter-attacking season out there.
Yeah, and they can finish. They can actually score goals without using their fucking head.
Especially if they got Ing. Yous are fucked.
Yeah, Ing's is going to kill us.
Speaking of your boys, though.
Speaking of us.
Speaking of your boys. The boys!
34 points. It just says, me speak. So, I'm going to talk about any headlines, transfer stuff we got going on. I literally looked at Instagram, where I get all my news from.
Big time.
And it said, Sergio Ramos, potentially on a free to Liverpool.
Could you imagine?
I will disavow this club.
You'll become a Newcastle fan. ASAP.
I'm literally full-time Newcastle fan. I'll become Liverpool's B-team fan, Southampton.
Yeah. Like, oh. Ooh.
Yeah, I will.
That actually might be fun, Ramos, though.
Yeah, if Sergio Ramos comes anywhere near a Liverpool shirt, putting it on, I will quit. We are also in for Upamecano, that's who I want to get. Yeah. I think he's really fucking
I think there's
good.
Like five prem teams in for that guy.
Yeah. So what I would do if I was the coach, if I was the manager, if I was the board, the front office, whatever the fuck, Upamecano, save all my money, get rid of some dead weight. People are looking at Origi. I love him to death, but he's never going to be anything other than coming off the bench. We got people for that.
He's
got Minamino.
Mbappe.
Listen. Origi is a club legend, but, you know, he's not playing. Fuck it. We got Jota. Save all that money.
I was about to say Mbappe.
Save all that money. Get rid of some dead wood.
I was about to say Mbappe.
And sign Kylian
Mbappe
in the summer. Put all the money. I don't give a fuck how much it is. Put all the money out there. Get him because we need fucking help. We need literally a miracle.
God, Kylian Mbappe and Klopp on the same sideline. I might have to become a Liverpool fan. That would suck. Next match is United in the FA Cup, which just absolutely fucking sucks.
I hope they play the kids.
Because we're playing Cheltenham Town or whatever. United in the FA Cup
draws.
Always. United in the FA.
We had Villa, and, I mean, they were going to murder us, and then they were like, oh, we're going to play 16-year-olds, and we're like, oh, okay, thank you, God. Thank you so much. And it was 1-1 at one point. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Spurs, West Ham, and then Brighton. Two tough games right off that. And then after Brighton, I think you play us, City.
Yes.
Leicester City, third place, 38 points. Biggest headlines that I read about, they went in for Eriksen. They went in for Odegaard as well. and it was swiftly rejected. And I guess what ended up happening is the amounts leaked, and people saw just how little money Lester actually has to play with and work with, which is even more impressive with how consistent they've been since they won the Premier League a few years back.
True.
Form is really good as well. 2-1 win against Newcastle, 4-0 win against sexy Stoke in the FA Cup, 2-0 win against Southampton, 2-0 win against Chelsea. Their next upcoming matches, Brentford, which Brentford's going to be a tough game. Brentford's actually a really good championship side, and they're probably going to win Leicester, obviously, but it's probably one of the championship sides you don't want to get drawn against. Then Everton, Leeds, and then Fulham.
Yeah. Did you say Fulham? I thought you said Pool.
Fulham.
For a second. Yeah, I mean, Everton, Leeds, Fulham. Probably should win all three of those. Maybe, mm-hmm. We got to stop saying you should, because like, when I think you should win, it's like Leicester versus Fulham, right? I think they should win that game.
You should win at least two, and you should not lose any.
Yes. I think they could lose to Everton.
But if they're legit title contender, they don't lose to Everton, they maybe tie Everton.
Yeah, I think they're going to get 7 points.
Yeah.
I think seven is safe. If you say seven points, safe, yeah.
If it's less than seven, something happened, I think.
Well, if it's six, I mean, I can understand them losing to Everton.
Yeah. If they want to be a title contender, you got to beat
Everton. Dude, this is not a year where people are just going to win every game.
It's true. Like, that's true. We got to change the focus up. You're right.
All right. Go off, King. City, number two. Game making in hand, a run. 38 points.
Making a run. Game in hand, 38 points. Worse. Second. Last four matches, 3-0 to Birmingham, 1-0 to Brighton, 4-0 to Palace, 2-0 to Villa, all dubs. Matches coming up, Cheltenham Town, FA Cup, West Brom, Sheffield, Burnley, and then the NAFTA Derby 2.0 for 2020-2021, Liverpool.
God, so soon.
Your schedule flips really quick. You're playing a lot of the same teams you played on the first section and the second one. It's really weird. I was looking at that earlier. We're not really in for anyone. I think we have a quasi-bid for that Upamecano as well. Biggest news for us, keep playing Phil Foden. He's our top goal scorer. I've been saying it all season. And Ilkay Gundogan has found the fountain of youth. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how he's playing so well. But he has been a catalyst for our team moving forward. I am very similar to you in our transfer setup. Our defense is actually finally starting to play really well. As you can see, we haven't given up a goal in X amount of games. Save the money. And give me Erling Haaland.
Dude, that is actually one of those signings that would terrify me.
Yes.
Because he is so fucking good.
Yes.
He is Kylian Mbappe, obviously a freak of nature.
So good. I mean, maybe one of the only strikers that I can see is like, he's better than Erling Haaland is Kylian Mbappe.
Well, it's not even that he's better. They're just both freaks of nature in like the complete opposite ways. Like Haaland is like, what, 6'4" or something like that. Runs fast as shit. Mbappe's obviously smaller, has probably a little bit more technical skill, also fast as shit. Haaland can head anything home, always making crazy runs, can push people off of him. I mean, dude, he's a freak.
Yeah.
He's so sick.
And this is the frustration of having a manager with a system that is a proven system that really works at every level and especially the top level. The one thing that I could see happening, everyone around us in City wants Haaland. Everyone wants us to sign him. Everyone there, we have the money. We can do it. And I could see Pep just sitting there and be like, doesn't fit the system.
Bruh.
And we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, sorry. My one Liverpool friend just sent me a quick message. This is why we love Jurgen Klopp. After the game, he said, it's always my fault. When something doesn't go right, it's my fault. When the players do well, credit to them. When they play bad, it's on me.
So
that's a man you love to be on in your corner. Just had to get that out there.
So glad that we had that breaking news on the City section to talk about.
I'm back, baby.
Again.
I'm back.
But yeah, give me Haaland, and then I could see Pep being like, nah. I think it is what we need, though. Just someone that is attacking. He's kind of like Aguero 2.0, except maybe better.
How do you feel about Raheem Sterling being valued more than Kylian Mbappe?
It's ludicrous. I haven't seen Raheem I haven't seen Raheem Sterling beat anyone one-on-one yet this year.
That's crazy, because I think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Phil Foden, okay, KDB, always our best player. Second best player this season, realistically, Ederson. But you could have thrown ex-defender back there, and there's an argument. I think third, if not second B or second C, whatever it is. I mean, Phil Foden. I'm going to ride that.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Do you think he'll get a game in Cheltenham FA Cup?
He's been playing a lot lately. I have no complaints.
Oh, has he?
He's been playing a lot, and he's been active. Active in the chat.
That's good.
It's time.
I like Phil Foden.
It's Foden time. Now, for both of us, you just got your good news about Klopp. I'm able to say Foden's been playing well. It's all because of me. Let's all come back down to earth and get a little depressed. Top of the table.
And let's go play in traffic.
United, 40 points. This sucks.
Yeah, I hate this.
No, we never saw
this coming. Mainly because I still don't think they're very good.
No. I actually think that there's three title contenders, and the number one team right now is not one of them.
They're not one of them.
Yeah,
okay, ready?
What?
This is some behind-the-scenes NAFTA pod shit. John and I have been talking about the fact that we're always worried that we're just, like, flat-out fucking wrong about something, so we always kind of hold it back a little bit, and we don't go in real hard.
Yeah.
So let me be the first person to kind of break that mold.
Fucking ear holes.
I don't give a fuck how many points United have. I still think they're dog shit. They're not consistent. They've been consistent, I guess, a little bit right now. They play like shit. Solskjaer's a dog shit manager. I will get, if he wins some shit, gets second or third, I'll give him props because that's higher than I thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not a title contender.
You know, it's also really annoying.
And fuck you if you think they are.
If you're a United fan, like, I was trying to find any, like, real transfer links or headlines or whatever. Yo, they are linked to everyone. They're always in the bidding somewhere. I can't make heads or tails of what they're actually going for and what they actually need. Like, not at all. It was frustrating as shit.
They need defenders. They can't defend. Yeah,
they can't defend. Well, that is actually why I think it's a Fugazi top table. Like, it's a Fugazi 40 points. Like, at some point, they're just going to get super exposed. And I think it actually may come in the next four matches. I think Arsenal's playing better. Their next four matches, Liverpool in the FA Cup, they should batter Sheffield United, Arsenal, and then Southampton. That Southampton and Arsenal game are going to be tough. Their form of the last four, though, 1-0 win at Watford in the FA Cup, 1-0 win at Burnley, 0-0 draw at Liverpool, 2-1 win at Fulham. So that's the table, man.
I sit here and I say they can't defend and they've given up one goal. I don't care. They still can't fucking defend.
Watford,
they're still liable to give up
Watford,
five goals in a game.
Burnley, Fulham, and then a Liverpool team who has never seen this type of scoring drought in how long?
Ever. So. I think since... Oh, they said it during the game. I can't remember, and I don't want to show that I'm not a true Liverpool fan, so I'm not going to remember it.
Class.
Yeah.
Class.
It's fuck them.
United. But yeah, man. That's the...
I'll never say they're good. The table. That's just a note. I'll never say United is good. So, that's that.
Yeah, me neither. Why admit it? Deny till you die. Hear no evil, speak no evil, say no evil, whatever it may be. Anyway, do we have a vibe? Do you want to do a vibe?
I have a vibe.
All right. Let's go ahead.
All right.
Hey, since you want to do a vibe, let's go ahead and get into these vibes.
Oh, man, it's got to that all-important time of the show. Once again, my favorite part of the show.
That's a vibe. It's a vibe. That's a vibe.
My vibe. It's a little baby vibe. First of all, this isn't my vibe, but shout out to the United States for not being a complete, utter disaster for a day and inaugurating Joe Biden as a president. Cool.
Big lib pod.
T's and P's. Yeah, T's and P's to everybody. All you hogs out there, all you, you Republican conservative psychopaths. My vibe goes to the true king, the true goat one, the true creator of all
good political points everywhere. Bernardo Sanders, for his absolutely styling fit on Inauguration Day, had the mittens, had the mask, of course, because we're safe in these streets. He had the big old fucking warm ass coat, and he's just sitting there like he is in, he is at the DMV, he's at the post office, he's waiting to ship his package, like he was, you know, waiting in line at Chipotle. Like somebody said, "Sir, you look like you're struggling to stand. Like, can I give you this chair?" And he said, "Oh, thank you very much." He sat down. That is my king. That is the GOAT. I already bought a shirt with that picture on it. I'm gonna wear that shit everywhere. Shout out to him. Shout out to the USA. We have 4 years of, or 2 years at least, of Democrat control. Let's do some good shit. Let's not fuck around, because if you do, I'm out. I'm out the game. I'm moving.
I don't know if I sent this to you or vice versa. The funniest one I saw this week is Bernie Sanders dressed for the inauguration like it was something on his to-do list, not his event for the day. Like, I was like, that is like spot on, point on.
Like it was something to do, not his like thing to do. His main, like the main, like he's like, I got somewhere to be.
Quite literally what I just said. Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
yes, for sure.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's my king.
He's the guy.
And then hold on, real quick, last thing. And then he goes on. I can't remember what it was. MSNBC or CNN. He goes on there, and they're like, we've heard a lot of chatter about your outfit today. Do you have anything to say about your outfit? And he literally looks in the camera and goes, "So we need to pass $2,000 stimulus checks." just goes this right man stays. At him. He's like, and then he posted it on his Instagram. He's like, "Fashion question mark? Nah, let's get to work, son. Let's fucking do it."
This man stays focused.
He is.
My bless vibe.
His heart.
Yeah, God bless his heart. My vibe of the week is a very selfish vibe, but sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes it's time to be selfish. It feels good for City to play well again. It also feels good for City to go on a run like this and not give up a goal. It's crazy. I've never felt we've always had not a leaky defense, but it's definitely been the greater of the evils of that and the offensive attack. It feels crazy. It feels good. I feel like I'm back on top and I'm playing well. I'm also knocking on wood simultaneously as I say everything that I'm saying right now.
Do you remember when we beat Crystal Palace 7-0?
Yeah.
You beat Spurs and then we beat Crystal Palace 7-0 and I said, "I'm fucking back, baby."
Yeah.
Since then, we have basically not won.
Yeah. So.
So.
I better.
I hope you don't eat your words.
I might actually delete that section of the pod. It was good to be back. We've said this for the past 3 weeks, just because we're not uploading on a normal schedule. The fixtures are too fucked for us. But I hope you enjoyed it. Share it with your friends. Give us 5 stars. Review us. Tell us we suck.
Review us.
Tell us that you're a bunch of Republican hogs that you don't like that Michael went on a Bernie Sanders tangent at the end of this fucking podcast. Let us know that you're a capitalist fucking pig. Go ahead. I don't give a shit. I buy things too. I'm not capitalist, but I like money. It's fine. Listen.
I'm a commie.
It was great. It was great talking to you this late at night. We got to
nice
do this earlier.
You, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Hair's looking long, flowing like a fucking bee. What? There you go.
I got a bun, baby.
Bun boys, not me.
Word.
All right. Review us. Give us stars. Give us likes. Send some shit. Engage with our IG. It's all good. One day we're going to go straight to video. You don't even know.